You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
That you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host, and want to thank you for joining me and us today here on this program that we have every Friday at 11 a.m. And before I introduce everyone who's here, just want to say this morning at 8:30, a new program is here on WCNO, the Dad Up program, the Dad Up radio show, which is lined up to be an amazing show for fathers and everything to do with being a father. And that's hosted by Seamus Gordon. And if you've been listening to WCNO for a while, you'll hear his little two-minute spots that kind of rotate around the clock. But now he's going to bring all of that into just a great program. He'll be live Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 9. And he's going to have just different things each day, talking about different ways that fathers can encourage their children and what their purpose really is. So I just encourage you to tune in starting, well, he started this morning, and it replays at 8:30 tonight. So if you don't catch him in the morning, you can catch him at night. So all of you fathers, we just encourage you to tune in and hear some great testimonies. And he's going to have all kind of people on, medical doctors, and just talking about everything pertaining to being a father and being a great dad. So, okay, so here I am now, back in hidden places. And I just want to welcome Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Morning. And Deanne Diaz.
Good morning, everyone.
And Sean O'Hay.
Good morning.
Good morning. He usually says good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So thank you, you guys, for being here. And
thank you.
Yeah, it's always a blessing. And it's, you know, seems like all the stuff we talk about when we're not on the air, you know, somehow it does translate once we get on the air. Even though there's a lot of great different little subjects. You know, the word says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's what we feel every time we get together, you know, because we're each bringing whatever the Lord is sharing with us and in the truth of his word. So, you know, his word is really the baseline for everything. And, you know, as we're growing individually, then when we meet together, then it would sharpening our swords and learning more and moving forward and all those great things that we get to experience in the Lord. And so today I wanted to start off with this verse here in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 to 9 maybe. And so I'm reading out of the Message Bible. It's not that I only read the Message, but this is my Bible that has the biggest font in it, and I can read it very easily. So it says, test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. I hope the test won't show that we have failed. But if it comes to that, we'd rather the test show our failure than yours. We're rooting for the truth to win out in you. We couldn't possibly do otherwise. And, of course, this is Paul addressing the Corinthians here. But, you know, we just want to focus on to make sure that you're solid in the faith and that you really do know the Lord Jesus Christ and that your life is in him, that you live in him and that he lives in you, not just in theory, but in actual process, daily process. And I'm saying that because I'm, you know, there's many things that are happening. If we're looking at things that are going on in the world, we're going to get wigged out. We're going to be nervous. It's like there's, everybody's coming at us with something, not us, but people just in general. The news is coming at us, the media, all forms of media. And, you know, we're being assaulted with everything. There's so much information that's available to us. And, you know, we can't handle all of the stuff that's coming. You know, think about if you were born in the 1800s, you know, you think about Little House on the Prairie, right? That, all they just had to worry about getting their food, you know, and their whatever they did on a daily basis. Probably hardly aware of what's going on in the outside world, right? But here we are daily assaulted with stuff, TV, phones, people, just it's overwhelming. And if we do not keep that relationship with the Lord front and center, we're going to be pulled aside every single day. And so I guess my thing is that, you know, I'm just seeing down the road that it's not going to get better in terms of there's going to be less things going on. There's going to be more things going on. The enemy is going to be stirred up more. We know that the Lord also is coming and that he's preparing his bride, but there's a war going on. There's a battle going on for our minds and our attention and our affections and our hearts. It, you know, we've talked a couple weeks ago and, you know, in other programs about returning to our first love and making sure that we stay in the love of Jesus. And we talked about the foolish and wise virgins, that some kept oil in their lamps. They kept the wicks trimmed out and, you know, just maintained that. And then there's others that are just kind of drifting along. And those here, like it says in this, in the message, give yourself regular checkups. And you need firsthand evidence, not hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. You know, we've been accustomed to listening to people. But, you know, maybe we've been lulled into hearing preaching, which is all fine, wonderful, church, everything. Preachers, teachers, it's, you know, it's everywhere. But do we read the word for ourselves, or do we just process things through what we're hearing from others? In hearing secondhand information and hearsay, if you will, like it says here. You need to have firsthand information from the Lord yourself, because you cannot live on your preacher's or your pastor's messages. You've got to internalize the word through your time and relationship with Jesus. And so I guess that's my point today. Mm-hmm. It is, and I think we've been saying it ever since the program started. That intimate relationship with the Lord, because you don't want to be stuck out there on the battlefield with no armor. You know, in theory, yes, we have the armor of God, but if we're not utilizing it, if we're not polishing our armor, if we're not exercising our faith, then we get weakened, and then the enemy comes to pick us off, and then you've got to take that time and effort to get back to the Lord. Whereas if you keep yourself in the faith, you keep yourself in Him, keep yourself in relationship, then it's easier to maintain something than it is to try to get it back once you've lost it. You know, and this could go for anything. You know, our personal lives, it can go for the country. You know, when we're apathetic towards things, you're going to end up losing it. I know, like with me, I used to exercise when I had the energy 12 years ago. But then I stopped exercising, and I'm certainly paying for it now. So now if I try to begin again, then it's like 10 times more effort to try to get back what I had. Whereas, you know, it took time back then because I hadn't been working out for quite some time. But when I began to work out, it was, you know, just within a few months, I regained all my strength. And I'll brag that I was able to pick up a case of water with one hand and throw it up on the counter at Publix, you know, at the checkout. I could lift a case of water with one hand. And I'm like, I can't believe that at my earlier age. But I can't do that now. I had to get something the other day in the office over there. I dropped something on the floor, and I literally had to get down on my hands and knees to get it because it had rolled under the desk. And when I went to get up, it was like, oh my word! It was so embarrassing. I'm glad nobody was here. But anyway, just think of that. So, you know, if we get lax in our faith, in our relationship with the Lord, then it's, you know, He's always there. He's always ready to take us back. But we still have to make the effort to spend the time with Him and to stay in the Word and to strengthen ourselves, just like David did when he's, you know, to strengthen himself in the Lord. Mm. So that's my encouragement for right now. So
there's only two kinds of people, those that are, somebody please say, and those that are not. And the Pharisees, they look at Jesus, you know, with their questions and rhetorical conversations. You know, they were the religious system of the day, and they asked him, they said, when is the kingdom going to come? And he says to them, kingdom's within you. And he's just talking and, you know, answering their questions. And then he says, but just like the days of Noah, they ate, they drank, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. He says, and then the flood came and destroyed them. That process of authentication in seeing who God really is and in hearing what He has to say has existed from the beginning of time up until the present day that we live, because there's always been a remnant-minded people in every generation. Look at the begats. When you read the begats, every person that is mentioned and that is named was a successful person in their generation. They were remembered, they were written. And up until this day, there's still a remnant-minded people But think about it like this. You get to make your own choices, your own decisions that determine the direction that you're going to take in life. Listen to what an unjust manager, leader, lousy leader has to say. He says, take your bill, write 80. So the master commanded the unjust steward. This is Luke chapter 16. He commands the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. And he says to him, for the sons of this world are more shrewd using wisdom in their generation than the sons of light. Now, we're either sons of light or we're sons of darkness. And, of course, we're believers. We're not just Christians. We're believers. We're the sons of light. But why would he say this? Why would he say that the sons of this world system are more shrewd using wisdom in their generation than the sons of light? And he says, he goes on, verse 9, I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And he just finishes by saying, you cannot serve God and mammon. There's no riding the fence because there's only two kinds of people. But when you're faithful, you're walking in the faith, there's a credibility that allows for you to imitate who he is because he's in you.
Amen. Amen. Whew, that's deep. That's good. Karen, you said begin again. And I already had it written on my paper. Begin again.
Awesome.
That's what the Lord was putting in my heart this morning. We know what the enemy does. He comes to, you know, the little foxes that spoil the vine. Little by little, we just kind of get off track. And then we're like, how did I get over here? How did I get so far off, you know, what I know and what I desire? And but he said this morning to me, begin again. It's a reset. Return to the place where you first met and encountered Jesus, Abba, and Holy Spirit. We all remember that place. If we really remember that moment that we truly encountered the love of God, the presence of God, I remember. I remember. And I wept, and I'm like, God, how can you love me? Because of the life I was living. I had gotten so far off track. But God is saying, let me adjust, align, and awaken you to your place and position for my kingdom. So that's where he needs us to come back to.
Amen. You know, and as the, you know, Jesus being the bridegroom and us being the bride, you know, I've said it before that when you're going to be married, or, you know, you're going to do everything you can to keep yourself focused on your weight and your what you're going to wear, how you're going to look, and all of that, so that you are at your best when he comes and when you meet him. Of course, you know, we can't clean ourselves up. He's already cleaned us up, but to keep our attention on him. And yeah, we just have to look. We can't stay in the past anymore. Things are accelerating. Things are speeding up. Things are going to begin happening. We're already seeing things happen in the earth that have already been written in Scripture. So we live with that eye for the future, but yet living only in today, in the moments that we have each and every day. And if our days are taken up with other people's issues or problems, because people will suck the life out of you if they can, and many of us have done it, you know, thinking, well, this is what the Lord wants, you know. But no, if the life is getting sucked out of you helping other people, then there's something wrong with the the priorities. When we serve the Lord, you know, there's a joy that comes with it.
Yes.
And, you know, it may be physically tiring to help others, but that inward joy that we have. But anyway, just keep yourself in the Lord. That's just what I keep hearing today. Make him the absolute priority before your spouse, before your children, before your friends, before your phone, which I'm practicing myself, trying to at least, you know, that I'm talking to the Lord before I look at my phone when I get up in the morning. I feel that the Lord's speaking. He has been speaking to each one of us and getting our attention, as if, like, seeing what you were just talking about, when, as it was in the day of Noah, everybody's eating, drinking, doing whatever, which has been going on for eons. But when we know that the Lord is approaching, you know, but we just continue to go and do whatever we want, then we're going to miss the time, we're going to miss the season, we're going to miss the moments, and the door of the ark is going to be shut. And I just have a real sense of that with, you know, there is a time, you know, where the time of the Gentiles has come in, and then the door is going to be shut. We don't know when that is, but we know that it's coming, and we could live our lives as if it's going to be today, mm-hmm. or tomorrow. So then it's, I think from that perspective, it's easier to put away things that are not mm-hmm. important. And
I'll just add to that, you know, when you talk about time, there's the duration of time and then there's the exact time. A woman gets pregnant and there's a duration of time for that. And then at the exact time, she has the baby. And in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul the Apostle says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful." As a steward of the mysteries of God, all of the revelation of God is found in the mysteries, because the word for mysteries is the Greek word mysterion. And if you look at the definition, it's pretty interesting. But as a steward of the mysteries of God, it tells us that there are those things that are hidden within us. They're not hidden from us, but they're hidden within us. And over a duration of time, through prayer and intercession and study and meditation on the Word and all that Selah of waiting on God and ministering to the Lord, then there's an exact time when these things are revealed. So the things of God are not hidden from us, but they're hidden within us to be revealed at their appointed time. That's why it's so important, you know, as you said, to stay in the Lord, to continue to, you know, they that wait upon the Lord, they that minister unto God, you renew your strength, and that strength is the revelation of Christ in you, your hope and glory for where you're at now and where you're going to be in the future. You know, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when hope comes, it is a tree of light. So when you stay in his Word, and he is the Word, and you can't separate him from his Word is a lamp to your feet that shows you exactly where you're at. But as a light for your path, the light of the Word of God shows you where you're headed at the appointed time and the exact time.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, it's just the scripture that I have for the opening of my program, which was the one the Lord gave me, Malachi 3. this is the difference between serving God and not serving him. And this was after the priests were saying, "God, how have we robbed you?" You know, with all the tithes and all that. And God says, you have spoken hard, rude words to me. You ask, when did we ever do that? When you said, it doesn't pay to serve God, what do we ever get out of it? When we did what he said and went around with long faces, serious about the God of angel armies, what difference did it make? Those who take their life into their own hands are the lucky ones. They break all the rules and get ahead anyway. They push God to the limit and they get by with it. Then those whose lives honored God got together and talked it over. God saw what they were doing and he listened in. A book was opened in God's presence and minutes were taken of the meeting with the names of the God-fearers written down.
Yes.
All the names of those who honored God's name. God of the angel armies said, they're mine, all mine. They'll get special treatment when I go into action. I treat them with the same consideration and kindness that parents give to the child who honors them. Once more, you'll see the difference it makes between a person who does the right thing and one who doesn't, between serving God and not serving him. And seeing it was something you said about, I mean, to me, it's like I see, as I say in the opening, that each one of us has a story to tell because God created us and he put himself in us and he wants to extract the thing that is in you, you know, that the jewels, what he sees you or how he sees you. And it takes someone who sees you, you know, at the right time. You know, the Lord develops you in the quiet time, in your time with him, in the intimacy. And then he keeps bringing you forward more and more. But along the way, there are people, when a prophet or a pastor speaks into your life, they see what God put in you. They can see, maybe not the whole thing, but they can see a portion of what God put in you. And this is what God's after right now. He's after those people that have been not hiding, you know, like cowering, hiding, but that have been in the background, that have been serving him for a lot of years. And he's coming for the goods. He's coming for what he put in you. Mm-hmm. And it's time to rise up, those of you that are in this place, that you know he's gifted you, he's given you something to do, and he wants it now. He wants it to be out there. And, you know, where the word says that faith without works is dead, if you do not speak up, if you do not take a stand, then that what you have, you know, it's dead. It's dead if you don't bring out what God has put in you and what he's given to you. You got to speak it out. You've got to just step up and do the thing that he's called you to do. And I'll say for my own life, I mean, this program is like, I'm like so far out of my comfort zone that it has to be God. It is God. Mm-hmm. Amen. So I just want to encourage you that are, you know, you think, oh, God's never going to use me. He's, you know, he's going to use you in with the giftings that he's put in you.
Amen.
He might have gifted you to be a mother to several children or be a mother to kids that don't have parents, you know, or whatever you're called to do. You're in the government. You know, you have a desire to serve in government. You know, that's what God has put in you, and it's time to step forward with that.
Amen. I'm going to say one thing, Nanette, and then I know you're so full.
Oh, no, maybe we need a break.
Oh.
You want to do it?
Okay, good. Okay. So Nanette's the clock watcher today.
Do the break.
Yeah, let's do the break, and then we'll come back in just a minute.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Okay, we are back, and good. I'm glad you were paying attention to the clock, Nanette, because I certainly was not.
Amen. Well, yes, Karen, you were talking about us being the bride, right? And I don't normally listen to Keith Moore. I went to Branson, Missouri once, and, you know, he's an awesome minister of the word. You know, he was Kenneth Hagin's worship leader, I believe. Wow, praise God. Yeah, he's an awesome teacher. But I caught a glimpse of him teaching at the Southwest Believers Convention last night. And he was talking about how the wife's busy cooking and cleaning and making the house nice for her husband. And he said, but that's not what I want you to do. She's like, but I'm doing this for you. And he said, but that's not what I want you to do. I want you to spend time with me. I want to do things with you. I want to have fun with you. I want to be with you. And he said, how is that related to us being the bride, right? And we're busy doing all these good things. Oh, this is good. This is pleasing to the Lord. But the Lord, our groom, is saying, but I just want you to spend time with me. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you to do all those other things. Just like with Mary and Martha, right? With Mary and Martha. And what's been in my heart like all week long, I just picked up this book by, I think it's Mark Batterson, called Whisper. I just started reading it. And the very intro, before I even read chapter one, the very intro, he's talking about going back to that place where you really met the Lord. But the Lord's had this on my heart all week. Samuel kept hearing a voice, and he thought Eli was calling him. So he kept going to him, and he said, I haven't called you, three times. Finally, Eli told him, go and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So the Lord came to Samuel again, and he called out his name. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. And that's where God needs us to return to. Are we listening? Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Your servant is listening, because he knows what his plans are. He knows where we're at and what we're to be doing. This is a very familiar scripture. And the last part is what God put in my heart. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to me. It goes on about captivity in Israel. But the Lord is crying out to us to cry out to him, to seek him, to return to him, to look to him and hear him. It's critical in this hour that we do that.
Amen. I'm going to read this word from Pam, because I think it kind of goes along with what you're saying, Deanne. So, Pam is my friend, and She had been on the program a couple of times. So she wrote this the other day. My dog Cooper sleeps on my bed. He's very considerate. He doesn't bother me all night. No matter how many times I get up, he doesn't move. But as soon as he hears my voice, as soon as I start to share what God has said to me, and I begin to speak it into the phone, he's there. Immediately, he comes right up to me to cuddle and to share love. I realize this is how the Lord is. When we're quiet, he waits for our voice. And when he hears us speak, he bends low to listen. At the same time, I was thinking of the song, "Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." It's not really that we're waiting on the Lord as if he wasn't doing anything, as if he wasn't listening. I believe he's always ready to act and answer when we speak. I thought of creation taking 7 days. When God first created the light, he knew what was coming. He had a plan. Man didn't exist at the time, but if he did, he probably think that it was... Okay, wait a minute. Man didn't exist at the time, but if he did, he'd probably think that was it. He didn't know the tremendous expanse of God's plan. He didn't know God had only started. I think it's that way when we pray. Those that wait upon the Lord doesn't mean we're waiting for him to act. It means that we need the faith to know he is already moving. He's got a plan and he will work it out. He waits for us to speak. And I believe his answer begins to form. When we call upon him, he hears our voice and he draws near. He uses the things in our life to teach us, like Cooper. As soon as he hears my voice, he's there right up next to my face.
Yes.
I believe that is so true of our Lord. He draws near to listen right away, and his plan begins to form. We just need the patience to see how he's going to answer, not if he is going to answer.
Yes.
Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and their faith. That's what we do. That's what we need to do. Walk, knowing God is moving. He has heard our voice. He listens. He understands. And he acts. But he just doesn't snap a finger in a momentary miracle. He works all things for good. The only thing that takes time is for our faith to form and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe," and for our trust to bring peace.
Amen.
Anyway,
I thought
that was amazing.
That's good. That's good.
And she sends us nuggets like that every couple of days.
Pam is awesome. Pam, if you're listening, we just value the gift of God in your life.
Yes.
You are just so precious to us and precious to the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So just remember that. Wow. Well, we have like 20 minutes left, right? And I'm looking at the clock because you guys have to experience what's taking place here amongst us. And it's so hard to get our bearings in the spirit. But, you know, as you were reading what Pam had given to us, I looked down and on my page, and it's Genesis 9:16, and it says, "When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth."
Yeah.
And, you know, this is what he told Noah. And I just, what kept standing out was the eternal covenant that God made with us and every living creature. We can stand on that. We can take that to the bank.
Mm.
The covenant that he has made with us. So I don't know who needed to hear that. But going back to, let's just see if I can break this down really simple. But when Sin was mentioned Noah, one of the things this morning I kept seeing 8:11, 8:11.
Mm.
And I look, and in Genesis, in 8:11, it says, "This time the dove returned to him in the evening with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Then the 7 days, and then released the dove." This time Let me repeat, sorry. This time, the dove returned to him in the evening with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Then Noah knew that the floodwaters were almost gone. And he waited another 7 days and then released the dove again. This time it did not come back. And so I just kept hearing, again, transition. I know this has been the common word that we're transition. But this speaks when he was mentioning about Noah went in the ark and the flood came. That is like the transition period that we're in and that is coming, right? And so, but I'm here to encourage you that there's an 8-11, and soon enough, the waters will recede. Soon enough, the waters will receive. And that dove that you sent out to determine whether it was safe to go on ground, to determine whether the new was coming, to determine if we were going to walk in the land again, the land that God promised us, that we were going to receive everything that God said he was going to do. And he said to us, the water will recede and we will see the land and we will walk in it. But are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be faithful to that new, to that opportunity, to once again, that chance, again, to do it right, to do it all the way, to do it the way God is requiring us, right? So this transition is so important and is so intense right now. And I keep hearing the Spirit of the Lord say, get aggressive. Get aggressive with this promise. We walked into this year, right, hearing the promises are this year. Grace, 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 right? You kept hearing all of these words. Are they just words or are they a reality? Are they in us? Are we it? Are we becoming it? And so again, it still stands. Grace, grace, grace. The promises, we need to fight. We need to get aggressive. A sister of mine told me this morning, and she shared it with me about, you know, Israel and about the people fighting, right? And they're in worship and they're praising and they're praying without ceasing. But guess what, guys? They also have the rifle right on their shoulders. Yes. That to me was just confirming what I was seeing and feeling and thinking, that we have to be aggressive with what he said he was going to do, what he said he was going to give us. Yes. But it's this transition, this process that we have to pass with flying colors. Guys, it ain't no getting D's now. We can't get an F. We have to go for the higher grade. We have to go for the A. We have to live right, live justice, live righteously, live according to his word.
Yes.
No ifs, no buts about it, guys. We either going to qualify or we're not. We either are or we're not. This is not the time. If you want to see that dove returning to you with that olive leaf, that the waters have receded and the land is ready for us, you need to remain in that ark and let God do what he needs to do in you. And so I also was seeing, okay, now this is like a down, because I'm hearing a lot of things, right? And so he took me to Joel 2, right? And so we're always talking about this, the Spirit of the Lord, right? Falling upon all flesh, right? Something to look forward to again. But he had me look beforehand. What was taking place before that, right? What was taking place before Joel 2 when it says, that he was going to send the rain? No, sorry. Where is it? Well, anyway, you know that infamous scripture that we're always standing on. But before that happened, in Joel 2, the locust came. I just kept sensing in my spirit, the locusts have been coming to devour the crops. They've been grabbing a hold of the crops, guys. They've been taking as many crops as they can. Okay, so it says in Joel 2, it said, I sound a trumpet in Jerusalem. Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. Suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears, nothing like it has seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and the flames follow after them. Ahead of them, the land lies as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward, they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. But anyway, I just kept hearing like this army of locusts has been just devouring the crops. So this is where the aggressive comes from. Either we are who we are, and we have that faith, and we know who we are. Okay, kingdom, right, living in us. We need to, there's just this battle raging, and we just have to get aggressive. We have to get aggressive, because guess what? Again, the words continue on the page. The chapter continues, right? And there's a promise. Mm-hmm. And we know there is a promise of restoration, and then there's a promise of his spirit.
Yes.
Okay? But before that, this is what's happening. This locust running around. I don't know if that makes sense with anyone, but this is what I was hearing. And again, because I'm here to encourage, right? I just love to encourage. Isaiah 41:18, it says, I will open up rivers for them on the high plateaus. I will give them fountains of water in the valleys. I will fill the desert with pools of water. Rivers fed by springs will flow across the parched land. Yes. I will plant trees in the barren desert, cedar, acacia, myrtle, olive, cypress, fir, and pine. I am doing this so all who see this miracle will understand what it means, what it is the Lord who has done this, the Holy One of Israel who created it. And he kept giving me like Isaiah 44:3, if those people want to jot it down, Isaiah 58:11, Psalm 103:35, Psalm 114:8, all talking about this water in those dry places, mm-hmm. You know, these graveyards that begin to flourish with all the fruit and all the flowers. Guys, that's something to look forward to. Just go through that transition, move forward, get aggressive with our faith, yes. And you'll see that whether we are where we are now and where we're going, in the end, there's restoration.
Yes.
In the end, there's hope restored. Mm-hmm. In the end, there's rebuilding, right? Mm-hmm. In the end, the Spirit of the Lord. You know, I don't know. So I just encourage you, no matter what you feel like right now, no matter what's going against you, what's going on in the world, stand firm.
Yes.
Stand firm. Who are you? Like that caterpillar that told Alice in Wonderland, who are you? And Alice was like, had no answer. Let's have an answer.
Yes.
Whether you're not or whether you are. Who are you is the question you should meditate on.
Amen. Amen.
I have to add to your transition, because as you're talking about it, this transition is for those who are ready to walk in this new pioneering apostolic era of the shift that's ready to take place in the earth. And we know that it says the whole of creation wait, moaneth, groaneth, travaileth for the adoption of the sons of God. Mm-hmm. But think about Noah, how Noah walked alone for so long, 120-some years. He was building an ark, and everything was fine until he stepped into that ark. Then the aggression came. But how many of us, like a Noah, have walked alone for so long, and now we're like a company of believers coming together in agreement to walk in this new thing, and the transition, it's by the Spirit of God to bring you into the place that you can't bring yourself to do what you can only do in the allotted amount of time that he's given to get it done. Mm-hmm. It's just like you wake up in the morning, there's dew on the ground, and you look outside and it's real pretty, and it's you can see like the glory of the mist of the water that's on the ground. Yeah. And then a couple hours later, it's gone. So we're here for an open window in an open time where the shift is ready to take place.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's Isaiah 55, the Lord was putting in my heart this morning. It's confirming all of this. It's an invitation and it's a promise. Mm-hmm. So listen. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Right in line with what everybody's getting.
I hope it makes sense to those who are listening. It sure makes sense to me.
You know, and Noah judged the world. And there's a judgment of God's righteousness for his believers. Oftentimes we think about judgment being something really bad and calamity and sickness and poverty. But when God judges his people with righteousness, it's because he's raising the standard for them to walk in a place that they have not walked before.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm. Amen. Wow.
Do you have something here?
Well, it's just, you know, the scripture I read earlier, but I where is it? I had my paper there and then I moved it. But to be sure that you are in the faith, that's really what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. Do you really believe what the Word of God says? Do you really believe that God made a covenant with us? It's not just for some people. It's for all people. God made a covenant with Israel, but with mankind.
Yes.
And choose you today who you will serve. Mm. And I, like what Sean was saying about the ark, it's time. It's time for, you know, buck up. I don't know if that's the right the right way to say it, but I mean, you really gotta get yourself together and say, Lord. You know, actually, the other day, I sat there and I was like, what do I really believe? And I began to go back. I went back to when I got saved. And I began to just recount. Well, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood to cleanse me of my sin, that there's no way that I can get out of it. And it's through him. And he did it. And it's a done thing. And it's my choice to believe that it's a done deal. So I believe that. I believe that he died, and then after 3 days he rose again, and he's now in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe that. That's part of my DNA in the Lord. And I believe when Jesus said, I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he will be your teacher, and he'll reveal to you the things that the Father says. I believe that. And Anyways, just like going down the list, just thinking of, I really do believe that.
Yes.
That it's a, you can't make me change my mind about it. I believe those things. And, you know, it's like time to take stock of, am I really in the faith and do I really believe? There are many Christians who still doubt whether they're saved or not. It's, I don't know how that happens. Even when after I got saved and I backslid, I still knew that I had received Jesus, and it was, you know, hiding back there in the corner. But I knew I had received him. I knew that I believed in him. And of course, my actions didn't pan out that way. But that assurance that I received him kept me in line, even though, you know, you fall away. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so what do we really believe? Because if you know what you believe, then you can do and act upon what you believe.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's really great to grow up in Christ, because, you know, it's in that belief system that you have. You know, a belief system is like an empire, you know, and it's where you really learn how to live. But through the process of believing, there's a transformative place where all of a sudden in your mind you start to learn how to think right. So, you know, with the process, there's illumination. And when the light bulb is turned on, your thoughts really start lining up with what you really believe. And then all of a sudden, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth begins to speak truth. And when that happens, you know, in that process, that's how you really become, you know, a doer of the word. But it's in the thought process where you have an ability to use your imagination with creativity and vision that is really hope, inspiration, illumination. You know, that's of the mind, but somewhere between the way you think and what you believe deep in your heart is a place called understanding. And when you walk in the understanding of the Spirit, that's how he causes his grace to keep empowering you to simply walk in truth. Absolute truth.
Amen. We just got a couple of minutes left. So I was just looking at this in 1 John 2:28. And now, children, stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for him when he appears, ready to receive him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when he arrives. Once you're convinced that he is right and righteous, you'll recognize that all who practice righteousness are God's true children. So know where you're at. That's the message today. Know what you believe, know where you're at, and know that you are in the faith, and stay close to the Lord. Because, you know, as chaotic as the world is getting, God is going to be showing up supernaturally, and we're going to be seeing some amazing things happen. So we want to be on the side of the Lord and not discounting any kind of way that he moves, because we're going to see him moving in different ways that may not, you know, align with our theological biases. So just be ready to receive him and watch him work. All right, we're out of time for today. Any last thoughts? We got about 20 seconds.
Scripture tells us that your faith would grow exceedingly, and as your faith grows exceedingly, so does your relationship with God in receiving an anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes. So when the Spirit of God calls upon you, he gives you an unction to do what you're supposed to do.
Amen. Okay, we're out of time, so we'll see you next week. Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m.